Welcome back to episode 4 of Left is Right, a NASCAR podcast. My name's Adam, and I'm joined again with Matt and Brent. What's going on, gentlemen?
Good evening. Episode 4. We have made it.
Round 2, though. Episode 4, round 2.
Episode 4, round 2.
What happened, Brent?
We had something happen. Yeah, we were supposed to record this earlier in the week.
I got my back blown out by a rental Silverado, and I took painkillers after a few, and I slept really well, right through the podcast.
I know we're not affiliated with any manufacturers here, but what year was that Silverado?
It was a 2020 Silverado,
fresh rental, off the line,
rental car special, and yeah, it did not have 5-way adjustable seats. You got slide and tilt. And apparently GM does not believe in lumbar support. That's the thing they do over there.
You sure they didn't leave wood blocks between the frame and the body in the front during shipping mode?
I mean, they might have. They certainly didn't put any. They certainly didn't put any structure on the back half of the frame.
How can
they're like wet noodle?
Why would a manufacturer in 2020 make a seat that is not comfortable? How is that even possible? You have to try.
Because everybody wants to be a cheap ass and doesn't want to pay for anything.
Right.
They want it for free.
Want it for free. My coworker and I were both rolling up our coats and stuffing them behind our backs to try and get some lumbar out of it.
That's
my
nice.
2000 F-150 rides like a dream. Those seats are comfortable, right? Yeah, it's a little old, but guess what? My back ain't blown out. I ain't taking pain pills and falling asleep with my best friends before a podcast, you know?
I told you, I had a 99 Chevy S10, you know, 15 years ago, and the seats were just as bad. Things haven't changed.
Amazing.
I remember getting that truck stuck in the mud, the two-wheel drive special there.
We did some things. We did some things, and we learned about wheel speed.
And then someone drove that truck all the way to California and back.
I sure did.
Yeah, your fiance. Was she your fiance or your wife at the time? She was still girlfriend.
She was still my girlfriend at the time. I'm kind of amazed that she's put up with me this long. But
Now she drove with you across the country, right?
Yeah.
And back, or no?
That was the trip. That was the trip of great calls. He calls me, he goes, he's driving, right? So he calls me, and I'm like, what's up, buddy? He goes, hey, we woke up, and apparently some tornadoes came through the area. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, we woke up, and, you know, we drive 5 miles, and all the trees are cut off. In the house. I'm like, bud, weren't you in a tent? He's like, yep. So
we were in a tent, almost blew away.
Wow.
My.
Wild. Anyway, well, we benefited because NASCAR's off this weekend as we record this. So, yeah, just Bristol. And what a weekend it was. What a weekend it was.
Speaking of storms, Matt, you want to go over that?
Yeah, that's a great intro, right? So, and normally, like race weeks, we kind of know what's going to happen script-wise, but Bristol was not following any script. And someone who definitely did not get that script was Mother Nature, who dumped, 5 inches of rain on this track in 2 days? So,
I mean, the little creek that runs through the parking lot darn near overflowed to the point where it came up to the outside of the track, like the TV compound was almost underwater.
Yeah, and let me quickly translate that for the rest of the country who doesn't live in some states in the East Coast. A crick is actually a creek. It's just pronounced strange in this one state. Mm-hmm. So
used to play in the crick.
Yep.
But we saw some pictures of outside the track, like Adam was saying, and it was I bet we lost some rigs. I bet there's some beautiful RVs headed to the scrapper for some water damage.
Well, but that wouldn't be the first time an RV got wrecked at a race.
No, absolutely not. No,
just the
no,
latest no. addition to the race graveyard. That's all.
Okay, I know some people who have used campground flooding to their advantage to get out from underneath the camper they were upside down on. So, don't worry. Not all those people are crying about it.
Hey guys, it's gonna flood. Let's go drive down and have an accident.
Go to the race.
Let's go have an accident.
Yeah.
Anyway. And especially with all that rain, what's better than to have some mud on the track? So A lot of fascinating stuff, though. Really, like, listening to it, and, you know, through the week, they were leading up to it. As we did discuss, we were all getting more excited, but it was really interesting to learn, you know, how they had the track sealed, and we're like, what the heck does a sealed track mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they just don't till it up. They just leave it with the rubber on it, and apparently the rain just runs right off.
Yeah, they were at one point. At one point, they were like, they were talking about like how you know that it's going to be pretty good, and like how packed down it is, and literally like they were trying to stick a screwdriver through the surface, and it would only go in like not even half an inch.
That's just they did their homework, and we knew NASCAR would, but you know it was in the back of everybody's mind, right? Like. Is this actually going to work? Is, you know, did they bring in the right folks? Did the team have it dialed in, and were they ready for everything? And in this case, everything was 5 inches of rain. So,
yeah, but they had practice on what, Thursday? Was it Thursday or Friday? I don't know. Whatever day it was.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Cause like, aside from Daytona, that's the first time they had practice all year. And it was really cool because like, since it was trucks and cup, in the same weekend, right? That was, at least that was the plan. They were alternating practice sessions. So it was like trucks went out for their first session, cup came out for their first session after that, and then back to trucks and then back to cup. And like everything was dried out at that point because it was nice. Like there was no, you know, there had not been any weather yet. Hadn't crossed over into Saturday and Sunday. And it was awesome. Practice was awesome.
So it was fun to watch, and watching the track deteriorate and them not take care of it, right? Which, you know, was, I guess, the best way to do it, because at that point, you're kind of, it's allowing the drivers to see how the track will change and how the cars will handle differently, because all the quick laps it handled happened like right off the bat, right? The first five laps, that's what they said, all the, you know, the fastest times in practice. So it was great to watch.
Yeah. And the guys quickly learned, well, I think even NASCAR, they got nervous, and a lot of the cup cars, another set of tires, I don't know about the trucks, because they were blowing them off the back of the cars, and you could kind of see in the race, they learned, you know, how to throttle manage, because like you say all the time, Matt, spinning ain't winning.
Yeah, they were, when I was watching practice, forget the gal who does the pit lane stuff for Fox. She was going hauler to hauler, just looking at tires coming off. they were literally, you know, videoing everybody's stuff right for national television. And like, you could tell who was good at saving their tires and who wasn't, you know what I mean? Like they the right rears on people who were just wrecking them were just gone. I mean, absolutely gone.
30 laps, right? 30, 35 laps. And they were slicks. They converted to
the
right rear anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see a lot of the guys figured it out toward the tail end of the cup race, and there were tires coming off those cars that were fine for a lot more laps. So they kind of figured out where the line is, I guess.
I mean,
it's cool to see the growth there.
Yeah, it was. When it came full circle, once they finally were able to do the race, I mean, you could tell the learning was occurring really quickly for I would say most people. But going, I mean, backing up a little bit, so trucks. So, yeah, the rain came, right, and everything got shut down. And that was on Saturday. They pushed everything. They moved the truck race to Sunday. And then Sunday, obviously, it rained even more. And moved everything to Monday then, which is like, you know, kind of puts a damper on everything. But I think the biggest consequence to all that was all the racers, at least from a truck perspective, you know, none of the heat racing took place that was scheduled.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that. I really
was. There
were
people who had the opportunity to, that aren't regulars, if you will, you know, not necessarily no names, but no names in the truck series that had an opportunity that if they would have done well in their heat, right, they would have made it to the main race. So that didn't happen, which was, I think, very disappointing to not have some upsets or like just, I don't know, just in additional intrigue on the evening.
it would have been great to watch, just even in that short. I forget how many laps they were going to run, but they were gonna put on a show for the folks. So it is a shame, but in the after all, we had two great races, and you know, one better than the other, in my opinion. But you know,
All right, let's get right into it. So truck races. When did that shoot off? Was that
noon?
That was noon on Sunday.
No, Monday.
I'm sorry, on Monday, and yep. the number 51 truck took it all the way to Victory Lane, driven by yours truly, Martin Truex Jr.
So, oh gosh, yeah,
it was great. Favorite part. The man with limited dirt experience, and he wins. He's the oldest, or what was this? It was some crazy stat, like the oldest, the longest gap between a truck start and a truck victory or something like that.
Yeah. That was first time win or something like that. Yeah. Oldest first time truck series winner. Something. Yep. Yeah. Kind of wild.
How old is Martin? How old is he?
How is he? That's a great question. I'm not sure. Let me pull that up.
You're not sure.
I'm looking at the information here. He led 105 of the 150 laps.
Just a few. He led a few.
Like, you know, and this brings me backs me up a week about, you know, what he did in Atlanta and in that whatever you cut yet diecast you wanted of the yellow Stanley car that he didn't win in. He did the same thing, but he didn't win the race.
And that would have been two in a row, right? And that's an Xfinity car to a truck, no less, right? So. Yeah. And Brent, to answer your question, he is 41 years old.
Okay, so he's not. I actually thought he was a little older than that. I mean, that's race, what
I mean. He's not. I don't think he's that old. Yeah, or he's not old in my mind, anyway. You know, 41. It's not that bad.
To me, and I think you guys are probably. I know Adam. You'll echo the same sentiment. The highlight of that race, or the part that I think shocked me the most about, at least about the broadcast, was the altercation between John Hunter Nemechek and Matt Crafton. Pretty early on. I mean, let's face it, Crafton dumped him, but he was probably, I can see where he would get off and saying that, you know, on a paved surface, that contact probably would have been no big deal. Probably wouldn't have put Nemechek around, but I think the part that amazed me the most was that they, on the TV broadcast, if anybody missed this, they were playing the radio interchange between the drivers and the teams on both sides of the ball, and there were so many bleeps you couldn't even make out what they were trying to say. And I'm like, wow, they're really broadcast. They're just letting us go. It was amazing.
He's like, don't ever stare at me like that. Like, what? Like, what? Throat punches? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that I expect to play out. Next, you know, I expect there to be some retaliation. Maybe not at the next race, but I feel like it's going to be like the Clint Boy or Jeff Gordon feud. He's gonna do something at some point.
Crafton better be careful, because I mean, Nemechek's wife was supposed to have a baby on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know if that actually happened. So now Nemechek's a father.
Yeah,
the man is under a little bit of stress.
And then on top of that, in the midst of John Hunter Nemechek giving the slow clap to Matt Craft, a safety truck, a safety truck wipes out the back of his car. Like, if you haven't seen this video, look it up on YouTube. Nemechek's lucky he didn't get clocked by the back of this safety truck. It was sliding down across the track.
That's an interesting part of, like, the surface. What were you saying, Matt? I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, buddy. But the race broadcast did not even talk about the safety truck hitting a race truck.
No, they
totally glossed over it.
Yeah, they let that one go.
Yep.
But sorry to cut you off, Adam. You were saying?
No. That's kind of what I was getting at. It like the whole safety truck thing and it sliding down the track was just like it was a telltale sign of like the racing surface at that point. You know, of like how gripped up it can be, yet, you know, a normal vehicle going at normal speeds, just trying to do the right thing, comes around and slides into it. Like,
now we did not get our Juan Pablo Montoya moment, but you know.
No, yeah.
That's good though. Yeah. That's good. We should hope they don't have any more of those.
JP won.
Well, thank God they didn't have any jet dryers at this draft. Oh, they weren't gonna be needing no jet dryers. They needed heaters. They needed surface heaters.
They needed almost a sprinkler at some points. You know, keep that dust down, little dust control, but
yeah.
Right.
It was wild. I took some interesting notes. So
okay, are we good? What do you got?
You know, we did win. I have to order another diecast now, but that's okay.
I love how you say we. Like
he's part of the team, Adam.
I know he is, but I just want to know what you did.
He's a roadie.
For what? Listen.
Did you drink a beer for him or what? I mean,
my boy Truex?
Yeah.
Listen, we get a win, right? Even if it's, I was fine for the cup. The cup race, I could care less about. I really could. For the weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, once we started running good in the cup, I'm like, God damn, two in a row? Man's going to sweep dirt. It's going to be unbelievable. From New Jersey, no less. But it's okay. Didn't pan out like that. But that's okay. It's all right. Yeah,
Truex, I mean,
it's
winning.
The 51 truck in trucks, right? So, right. Like, you right. know. I mean, has that like the most winningest truck of all time in that series at this point?
It's unbelievable. It's the Kyle Busch truck, right? Kyle Busch Motorsports. The one he drives when he wants to beat up on the kids, you know.
Anyway.
My goodness. Yeah, I mean, him winning that race kind of set the tone for the cup race in that you're not going to see the usual suspects doing well. I don't think any of us expected Truex to win or Logano to win in the cup race. Here's two guys that are self-admitted noobs when it comes to racing on dirt. They don't have a clue what they're doing. Maybe it's because the cars are bigger and heavier and have lots of power that the your usual dirt track guys didn't do well. Or nowhere near as well as expected, I guess.
So that's what I was just kind of looking at the rundown of the finish on the truck side. So, like, name-wise, that you probably recognize, Ben Rhodes finishing second. Mm-hmm. Chase Briscoe, obviously coming down from Cup, he finished fifth. He would have been the other, he's, you know, the second highest Cup driver finish in that list. And then, you know, down the line there, Grant Enfinger, Zane Smith, Parker Klingerman, Austin Hill, Bubba Wallace came in 11th, and even Stuart Friesen, of all people, came in 12th. You know, so there's some names on there that have dirt experience, but yet someone like Truex dominates the race. So
it had to be, and it's funny to say, was it in the setup, or was it a cup driver running a cup line? Right.
Maybe. I mean, compared to like a late model, these cars have to drive like crap on dirt.
And it's all weight, right? You have a lot more weight swinging around, right? And I think, Brent, there's a lot to do with that. And I think just the differences between late models and the modifieds to this is just night and day.
They can't unlearn their dirt car skills, and it just doesn't pan out for them. But made for awesome racing. I expect it to be half a step off of watching a demolition derby, which would have been entertaining. And there was a fair amount of carnage in both in both races, but a lot of good racing as well, which was great to see.
So they had 12 cautions in the truck race.
Truxton. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, I mean in you know, I feel like Truex, to an extent, probably benefited from not getting caught in this race anyway, benefited from not getting caught up with the rest of the junk, you know, until he comes up with lap traffic. Every one of those restarts, he's got clean air, you know. He doesn't have to deal with the dirt getting on the windshield as much as everybody else. And
he didn't need the Swiffer. The Swiffer is bad on the inside of the glass.
Yeah, Swiffer needs it. That's a sponsorship opportunity. They need to jump in on that. I expect them to be dominating the advertisement boards next year at Bristol.
Bingo.
Even if they have windshields, because that was apparently proposed at this point. Pull the windshields out. So
yeah,
they should.
I can't wait to see the innovation. The innovation to next season should be next level. So pay attention closely.
Adam, it's gonna be a late model before we know it. be a late model and independent rear suspension. That's what's gonna happen. Yeah.
But even the haulers, right? I mean, those guys have probably been working hard since last Monday when they got home, cleaning all the dirt out of all the little crevices. You know, I feel like the haulers probably going to have tear offs on the side of the trailers, so they don't have to clean them.
They're going to show up on an open trailer, you know, with the tire stacked up front above the nose. You know,
that's what they really should do. Make them use an open trailer and like an 88 Chevy 2500. You know,
the trailer, one of those old ramp ones.
Ramp truck,
you know,
ramp truck is sweet.
Yeah,
that's what I love about Junior. So he's talking about and this is kind of off topic a little bit, but he's built that. I think it's a Nova that he's going to run around that Darlington for the Southern 500.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I got it all set up, and you know, I'm going to take it up to Darlington, so I'm going to load it up on the gooseneck and take it right on up. I'm like, awesome. Oh, that's Junior, you know, like just getting detailed about the trailer apparatus, you know.
Oh, man. I'm shocked he doesn't have the matching hauler for that thing yet. I'm sure it's coming.
I'm sure it is. It's unbelievable what that man has created with all the money that has come his way.
And continue to create, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't stop, you know.
I mean, his little Western town, all the cars in the woods.
I heard a story about them using Budweiser on their dirt oval go-kart track they had.
Oh, God.
To get dust down, because he had a sponsorship. Hell, why not? Just put the butt down. Get too dusty, you know? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, right, that was good. Deegan had her best run of the year.
She's consistent. And you know what? She's learning. And if you watch, she stays out of the crap. Right.
Yeah.
And continues to finish races, which is what you have to do. Just got to finish them races.
She's getting seat time, which is awesome. She finished 19th, started in 22nd. I thought perhaps she could have an opportunity to do a little better than that. But, you know, with the variation all over the field and the different competitors, so it really doesn't surprise me. But she ran all 150 laps, you know. She's, like you said, able to stay out of it, and we'll see what she can do. Keep getting seat time and crack into the top 10 one of these days, maybe.
That would have been an interesting race without the Cup folks in there messing it all up, right? I would like to see that with the standard dirt truck guys, but it is what it is. So it
was a everybody good show. Who finished in front of her was, so Cup-wise, Daniel Suarez.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. You put on a clinic.
Harvick.
He did.
Yeah.
And Bubba. Finished 11. Yeah, and then so that's 3-4 with Briscoe. So Briscoe was
the first place truck.
Yeah, so five trucks. So put her up five spots, she gets a 14.
There you go. Can't forget about that first place truck. Can't forget
him. Oh, man. So, yeah. Good stuff. Trucks was awesome. I was very happy with the race. Short. It was less than 2 hours, which is perfect.
Exactly. Get it in, get it done, and they had a ball, man. Those guys, they really did look like they're having a good time out there. So
did y'all catch the Cup race? Did you see who won?
Oh, I sure did. Matt's gonna have to admit it here.
I turned it off. That final restart. No, I didn't. Okay, all right, I'll do it. All right, Adam, for you and your three Joey Logano fans, congratulations.
Thank you.
Victory. First Cup dirt win 51 years goes to the 22 Pennzoil car of Joey Logano.
Yep.
He looks smooth and consistent and just.
Now, what I think is going on, Brent, is whoever helps NASCAR broadcast that race the day before does quite well when it comes to their turn to drive.
Two weeks in a row. It's been Blaney did it in Atlanta and then won and then,
Got that magic sauce.
Something to watch. And you know what? And it just shows how Joey doesn't really have a dirt background, right? Just how they can learn and adapt and grow, right? And I think there is something to what we talked about earlier of not learning or not knowing those bad dirt habits, right? Just running the car and figuring out what it can do and do that as best you can for...
Trusting in your abilities as a driver, right? Because, I mean, so this is proof that it's NASCAR, right? So obviously there's a stigma about people only being able to turn left. So obviously we know, the three of us know, there's a lot more involved than that. But at the end of the day, when faced in an adverse situation, many of these drivers who have not experienced this whatsoever are still able to come out on top and look good doing it.
And from I'm looking at the race, right, the lap leader breakdown, right? So we had five different drivers lead laps, right?
Yeah.
In Bristol Dirt. It was Hamlin, Busch, Truex, Suarez, and Logano.
Yeah, Truex was out front most of the day. I was Truex very convinced that it was going to be a Truex sweep.
126 laps. Yeah. But to the point is, there was no dirt. It wasn't the Larsons, the Briscoes, right? There wasn't. I know they had some crap luck, but you know, you didn't see that side of it come through. So very interesting, especially Suarez, who said, admittedly, he has what, one race, one modified race he ran like before.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Larson got tied up in a altercation in the middle of the pack, and I don't think he finished, did he?
Larson did. Where did he end up? I think he did finish.
Yeah, he ended up running. He finished, but he was. I think he didn't complete all two, whatever it was, 250 something laps. He was a little 29th. Yeah, he was. Here he is, 29th, right?
29th. Yeah, I mean he had. I think he had come up to about the middle, you know, somewhere in, you know, 15 to 20 before that happened, but he wasn't charging towards the front like I had expected. So like, so that's the question is, you know, if he doesn't get tied up in something, would he have made it to the front? And I don't know.
He was trying to convert that truck or that car into a modified there for a while by taking them body panels off. But he did drive from the back and push his way up. And I think he made it either to the 14th position or close to the top 10 before he had his run-ins with other drivers.
Yeah, so he was on the pole originally, right? But did he go to the back of the pack?
He did.
Yes. He smoked an engine in practice, right?
Yeah. Dude, so he crashed his truck. He smoked his cup engine, and he wrecked his cup car during the race. Like three for three, bud. Pack it up.
I don't know whose truck he was driving, but Rick Hendrick probably was not pleased with the five car. Probably had a conversation. You know,
spent that pretty line of sponsorship money.
You know, like we talked about, how long did that take, right?
In 3 weeks.
Hendrick is, you know, the man's not in this to lose money. So he knows what he was doing. But yeah, I took some, I'm just going to briefly go over my quick notes here for the race. I have the 19 car passing with ease on lap 8. I wrote that. Then the 19 car to lead on lap 9. And then, unfortunately, I had to jot down the 18 car overheating lap 10.
Yeah, that was epic. That was epic.
Lap 10. They're like, it's done. It's cooked. We burned
it's
it.
Hot. Yep.
Yep.
So
between windshields,
strategies, and the dirt grills, right? So different teams are doing different things to try to keep the dirt out of that radiator. It was interesting to see the strategies.
Yeah, I'd be curious if they'll do something else for next year. I mean, between the windshield needing to be gone and possibly needing to have some other kind of radiator arrangement to keep these guys from plugging up the inlets.
The Fords seem to have like something on the front of the grill where the dirt was not sticking to like the grill fins.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, what witchcraft are they using to make this dirt
non-stick cooking spray?
Well, that's what I mean. That's like it may sound like really crazy, but I have a feeling it's not crazy. It's probably as simple as that.
I mean, it's like it's like Christmas Vacation when Clark Griswold's spraying the stuff on the bottom of
was it the non-nutritive cereal varnish, or was that something else?
Yeah, that stuff. That's what
adapt and overcome. Don't overthink it. You know. So they probably bought every can of Pam, you know, from the Food City grocery stores, you know, shameless plug there. In the Tennessee area.
Yeah, but they could definitely do something there to make those, you know, if you're running up front, you're fine, but if you're in the middle of the pack, there's a big risk for overheating.
Yeah, overheating the windshield thing we mentioned. And I was reading an article after the fact that some teams were saying that if no more, whatever tear offs they were using left like a light film on the new windshield. And that apparently just collected dirt. Like it was like a magnet.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean. It's almost like when you got something on the window, you know, in the car and it fogs up and you can see the outline of that thing or whatever it was, that smudge or. Yeah,
there's a sponsorship opportunity. Rain-X can get involved. They can put washers on the cars and wipers.
I think that'd be awesome. And you know, might as well use the washer fluid to keep the radiators clean, right?
There you go. So, put squirters on them.
Yeah, squirter.
I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
Well, but, hit us up, NASCAR, if you're looking for ideas.
Listen,
we're giving great one.
Apparently, so
yeah.
Oh, gosh. And then lap. So further on, we're moving along in the race. 19 cars putting on a clinic at this point. And then lap 41 comes around. And I forget who wrecked. So who wrecked in front of him? Lap 14.
Lap 14?
No, lap 41. I'm sorry. So that was the 10, the 7, the 38, the 77, and the 78, right?
Sure. What just missed that, didn't he?
He just missed it.
Yeah. Guys, he almost got walloped.
We talk a lot of crap on Quinn Huff. At that point, the 19 Truex just put him a lap down, right? And the 19 and that 00 car stayed off of Truex somehow. Everybody was talking, oh, we can't see, we can't stop. And yet, Quinn Huff managed to not take out the leader. Because that would have been, could you imagine that story? Can you imagine that story?
Wow,
so, you'd be so pissed, Matt.
Listen, the man's in my good graces. This is okay with
he me. He did well in the iRacing bit. On I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. Quinn did. He impressed me with the iRacing on dirt. Did pretty well.
Yeah,
so this is the age old argument that relates to sports, right? So like in sports, everybody always talks about: would you rather see your team blow out the other team, or it be a nail biter towards the end? So would you rather see Martin Truex get walloped right there and be done, or would you rather see him lose air pressure at the end of the race and blow it?
Oh, God.
Which is what happened.
Get there yet? I remember. I didn't even get there yet. You know what?
Yeah, I'm just cutting through the chase here.
Yeah, we're gonna get right to this now. I liked if he didn't win the truck race, I would have had a different spin on this, right? But I liked. If it's going to happen, right, right at the end, right? That's a great story. The caution, the last caution, they go green, yellow for the finish, right? Did Ansgar get a green? Was it a overtime finish? I can't remember. Either way.
Overtime. Yeah. Overtime.
Like, you know what? If something's going to happen, it wasn't his fault. It's a tire, right? He didn't pull a Denny Hamlin and not, you know, give Joey the bumper, right? Because the whole world see that happen. And then, you know, Hamlin decided he was going to try to make the top work, which didn't work all day. So, Hamlin, though, what was up with that?
I don't know. I was real all confused there at the end because NASCAR pulled a John Wayne and single-filed everybody up on the restart without telling anybody.
After that one video of Blaney going through there and he's just sawing at the wheel and you can't see anything.
Well, I get it. I understand why, but it was like, what?
The single file was wild, and we would have had a lot more cautions if they weren't single file. But yeah, it was the end was strange, and I don't know. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but it's all good. No, listen, it's all good, man. But to answer your question, I like if it did happen, if it was going to happen to Truex, right? It's a tire and it's late, right? We've lost a championship like that before, so
he's prepared for this kind of heartache.
Oh, God. And do you know who it was, too, who ended up winning that championship that year when we put the tires on the wrong side in front?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know you do, Adam. Yeah, Joey Logano. Yeah, sure did. Champion, quote-unquote, champion.
2018.
Yep. Yeah. Still when sore
Martin won in 17, right? Cast, Adam? It's on my list. It's on my list.
Got a spreadsheet going.
I got a spreadsheet going. I'm getting... So we'll get it. So, yeah. So, obviously, Joey wins the race, right? I immediately try to find out where the diecast can be purchased and you know, figuring out which one I want to trying to get the best one. So I do it. I pre-order it. So then, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I get an email that said from the company that I ordered it from that said there will be a limited 100 diecast released, basically the same one, but it's going to be autographed by Joey and the crew chief. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! Like, that's the one to have. It's the first dirt race on NASCAR, right? And my guy won, so like, I want the most valuable one. So now. Mm-hmm. Because I have to have that one, I immediately pre-ordered it. Like, hook, line, and sinker right there, they had me. So now I'm sitting on two. But they don't come until, like, October or something like that. So
just forget about it. Until the building, you're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
What a mistake.
So now all of a sudden, I mean, the bill don't come until they ship them to me. So now I'm into two diecasts for $250.
Shh. You're in the basement, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm in the base. I gotta keep it down.
Okay.
She doesn't listen to this.
I got a point to make too. So, I think I was texting everybody about this when it was happening. So, lap 150, Suarez takes the lead, right? And he's lapping the five car at this point, right? Logano or Larson had to be one or two laps down. So Larson's driving him hard, and Suarez gives him the bumper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gets around and pushes him up the track, right? The 99 goes around him. And then Larson retaliates, coming down the front stretch. Well, what is he doing? But your lap's down. You don't get a chance to retaliate. You're in the man's way. He moved you. You move on.
Yeah.
What is he doing? If he would have wrecked him, that would have been the biggest story out of here.
Oh yeah,
but
absolutely. Just,
God, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? I'm on TV. I'm like, what an idiot! Like Larson, I understand you're competitive. You're upset. You wrecked your truck. You blew up your cup engine and you wrecked your cup car. You're having a rough time. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wreck the leader. Don't wreck him. Get out of the way.
Suarez led 58 laps.
He did.
Well, I'm renaming him Daniel Suarez.
Mr. Suarez?
Mr. Suarez, yeah.
Mr. Suarez and Dirty Logano. We can call him Dirty Logano now.
Joey Dirt.
Dear Tay.
I guess he's got a little class going. But
I guess. I don't know if you call it class. I'm not sure that's the right word. But anyway. Stenhouse. Ricky. Old Ricky.
Ricky. Where's Danica?
Dude, he just ran out of time. There just wasn't enough laps. He would have had it. I mean, I think five, six more laps. I think Stenhouse is in the lead.
I don't understand. I don't understand it. I don't know where. Oh, all of a sudden, he'll just be out of nowhere. He'll do nothing for like three races, and then all of a sudden, he's up there contending for the lead.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. He's usually at the beginning of the race. I'm usually. Like when they're panning the back of the pack coming out of like turn two on the first lap of whatever race it is, I'm looking for him to come down flying into the infield and smack the wall all the time. And sometimes it's him.
After when NASCAR had their shutdown last year, right? First race back, second corner. Who's in the wall? Yeah.
Stenhouse.
So. I did meet Ricky Stenhouse. I shook the man's hand.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Where did you meet him?
He had he came to my place of employment. Him and the rest of the, he was there. Logano was there. Boyer was there. And
Stenhouse in a Chevy.
Well, no, this was prior to that move.
Oh, okay.
When he was driving the Ford, and I'm like, look at this guy. I'm like, he doesn't want to be here because I knew he was leaving, right? I'm like, yep.
Maybe he just broke up with his girlfriend then. I don't know.
Yeah, moved on. Oh, God. You remember that? When that was going on? She'd wreck and then three laps later, you know, he'd be right there, you know?
It's interesting.
It was something to think about.
We won't get into that.
You say, But, yeah, then shortly after the 150 lap incident with Suarez and Larson, that's when the dust ball started.
Yeah.
like 161. Yeah. That's when they had a they had two quick cautions, and I'm like, oh boy,
they couldn't tie three laps together to save their life right there for a while.
Yeah, would they end up with 10 cautions?
I think it was 10 total. Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was getting to me watching. I'm like, this is getting sketchy now, you know. And you're like, yeah, this is not good. So
the whole pit setup was very interesting and how it ended up turning out, you know. So like pit road was obviously only open at certain times and everybody had to be in their stall for work to commence. So it wasn't a race off pit road or race on pit road whatsoever. You know, and it wasn't a race to get your car done the fastest, just as long as it was done in the allotted time. It was a whole different dynamic to the pit stop strategy.
They weren't using crews. They were using technicians. And they had, what, 3 minutes?
Yeah, I think they had 3 minutes. Yeah.
They had the engineers out there with their torque wrenches, torquing lug nuts. Did you catch that?
They got them tight this time.
I was dying. I'm like, they're torquing the lug nuts. I'm like, these poor guys must die during a race. Watching them just whip it on with the impact, you know? Sometimes they don't even get all the five on, you know?
Mm.
These guys look just cringe. The hub engineers are like, we're going to be able to torque the wheels, guys. We're going to bring torque wrenches, and we're going to torque those lug nuts. But
no penalties for loose lugs.
Yep.
Zero.
Torque wrenches are getting so sophisticated that they are internet capable these days, and they can record the torque setting and all that stuff. We talk about those for work a lot, and usually the conversation is like, do we really want to have record of us not tightening a lug nut? Because we know that is the reality of the situation. I think it's better for the paper trail if we can't prove it.
It's kind of like what, either send an email or pick up the phone and call someone, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Or this is better over the phone. Speaking of your brand, yours worked great, buddy. So I just borrowed some for my side project. So thanks, buddy. Well done. We'll see when we launch number 3 rod out of the block. We'll see what happens. But that will definitely not be the torque wrench's fault. That'll be the operator's fault. So.
Operators.
So Joey wins, of course. So
sure,
give him another clap. Another
congratulations.
Clap.
Congratulations.
So what we, nice. How we do? How'd the picks do?
Oh, Adam, I was just going through. And
I was terrible.
Buddy's pick. So
didn't I pick Suarez for
well, let's Kansas. Yeah, we'll go Brent, go winners. Who or yeah, go winners first. Everybody, okay. Whoever the winners were.
All right, so my winner, I took Stuart Friesen to win. He ended up in 23rd place.
All right,
Adam, I jotted this down. Do y'all have it? You want me to just read them off?
I had Austin Dillon, right?
You did. Yes, Austin Dillon ended up in 21st, so better than me.
Yep.
And then Britton P took Larson, and he ended up in 29th.
Ooh. Yep.
So, Adam, way to go. The 3-car. Get you the
not
win.
Not as good as I thought. I picked him to win, obviously, and that I'm sensing an interesting thing here. You know, like I pick somebody who I don't really want to pick to win, and my driver wins, and that's what happened to you in Phoenix.
Well, see, and then I go ahead and change it, and then I pick him, and then this is what happens. So I'm not picking Truex unless he's got like 3 wins this year, right? And then I'll take him. I'm not gonna do it. Can't do it.
Can't curse him.
You can only pick him. You can only pick him in Phoenix if he's in the championship 4.
Oh my god, Phoenix is in the champ. See, right now I'm on cruise control to the championship. I don't care what happens with the rest of these races with my driver.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We might get more than 16 winners this year.
And we're sitting 3rd in points right now, so we'll be all right for a little bit. But but yeah, our dark horses were very interesting too. So dark horse, I took Bubba Wallace, and Bubba ended up in 27th.
Yeah.
Adam takes the 8th car of Tyler Reddick. And he ended up in 7th place.
Yeah.
So wait.
Yeah, he had a good run. Buddy. Yep.
He did. And then Brent had Adam's winner as his dark horse, who ended up in 21st. So.
Austin Dillon. Yeah.
Sure was. So Now the most interesting segment of the day. And once again, Adam, just we'll get there in a second. But I took for my care center pick, I took Kyle Busch just because I like seeing him lose.
That was close though. He obviously had the incident there in the beginning.
If that thing blew up, I would lap eight, no one's beaten that. That would have been but he bounced back like he always does and ended up in 17th.
He did finish worse than his brother though, so there's that.
Just by one position.
Just drive him nuts. You know it does. You know that just irks him. It has to. But Adam, you remember who you picked?
Corey LaJoy.
You remember who, you know where he finished?
Second to last.
Hold on. I'm clapping for you. You hear me?
He awesome. Was involved in the very first incident of the race.
Wait a sec. Was he? Hold on.
I believe so. There was a caution like 30 some laps in.
What's his car number?
7.
Oh, he sure was, bud. He sure was.
Adam wins the cold one this week.
Hey, buddy, congratulations. That was our first actual pick to actually pan out. So
I told good you, for you. No idea what he was doing, man. No idea.
Having no idea what they were doing. Brent, who'd you pick for your
Absolutely. I picked Daniel Suarez, and he walked away with 49 points.
Old Suarez.
Open mouth, insert foot.
You know what, buddy? Honestly, though, that's not a bad pick. And I think that would have been a great pick. But, you know, now we know that you can't just focus on dirt drivers at Bristol like the rest of the world did. So,
yeah. I feel like if you would have gone to Vegas and said Daniel Suarez is going to be the first driver to be out of the race or in the care center, they wouldn't have taken that bet because they knew you were right. So it was a great pick. It's
like possible for them to meet you there. So yeah, it was a good pick. But
he defied odds.
Brent, I think you're I'm flipping back to the races. I think your care center pick did better than your main pick.
Oh, absolutely. My care center pick did better than my main pick and my dark horse added together.
That's all that matters, man. Soon this is just going to be the care center segment. It ain't going to be about winners and dark horses.
No. It's going to be... God, the care center is the best.
Maybe we'll expand it. First three drivers or something like that.
Well, we can maybe do a wreck. A mechanical.
Ooh!
Who's going to have the first mechanical out or the first wreck out, you know?
Larson. Mechanical. If something's gonna break, he's gonna break it.
Timmy Hill will be mechanical.
Timmy Hill. Yeah. Crying to get on iRacing. Mr. Hill. Waterworks Hill.
Who did good though? Did you do yours, Matts, though? Did you?
I did mention it, but just to reiterate here, your buddy, I took Kyle Busch as my
That's right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I thought I had a chance, but I was close, but you know, was definitely not first wreck of the day with a crash, no less. That was awesome.
It was. I was excited about that when it happened. Very excited.
We're all texting, and I'm like, oh no. Oh my God, there was. Now, it would have been very interesting if someone took Eric Almirola. Because he's listed as the first car.
Yeah, so he finished two spots over in front of LaJoy, despite being in the same wreck.
Correct. So we might have had a little discussion, you know, how does that fall in the chain of things? But good thing we didn't have to do it. And Adam, congratulations on your pick of the worst.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it's an esteemed award.
It's a major award.
Matt, you're the official tracker of all that, so.
Oh, see God. How it plays out.
You're the only one writing it down, I think.
Yeah,
you're definitely the only one writing it down. God bless you.
Oh, I got my little notebook here. I sit there in the race with my pencil and take notes as I go. And, you know, did I take anything else funny? Normally I write some good stuff in here. No, Atlanta, the 22 held up to 5 teammates. That's not what this race was. All right, here we go. No, that was it, man. That was 22. I did write this out. I can't believe I wrote this. 22 had a great restart in overtime. I wrote that. Great restart.
He sure did. He didn't spin him like he did against Martin.
Now, I'm going to say something here, right? I'm going to say something. So let's say Truex was out front and Hamlin was behind them. Does Truex get the same treatment that Joey Logano got leading in front of Hamlin? Or does Hamlin give Martin the bumper like I expect him to, as great teammates that he is, and wins the race himself?
Well, I think grip plays a factor in that.
I think he would have gotten to him. Yeah. You said grip, right? Mechanical
grip?
Yeah,
I said grip. Yeah, yeah. So obviously Joey had the grip in that restart, right? He didn't spin him. And how do you know Martin gets the grip there? I guess that's my point.
Just say he does, and Hamlin has a chance to get to his bumper, right? Because Hamlin was right there on Logano, right?
Yeah.
He got to his bumper. If he wanted to shove him up the track, he could have. My point was, Hamlin is not the best teammate, and I think he would have just gave Martin the bumper, moved him out of the way, and took the race win himself. Now, for whatever reason, he decided to play nice with Joey Logano, because you know Joey would have moved him. If Joey was in his position, he was getting moved. And well, did you hear Hamlin trying to talk him up?
No, what was he saying?
Oh, they're like, you know what you got to do? They're going, if this guy who's out front is the number one at this, and you know what to do. So they're literally telling him to use the chrome horn on him and move him out of the way. But yeah.
So to me, yeah, I don't have a teammate or not. I've got no problem with any driver on the last lap or any, you know, in that situation where they have an opportunity to move somebody and get around them for a win. I don't really care who it is, who's in what situation. I don't have a problem with anybody doing that.
No,
I don't. I think that's if your goal is to win the race, then that's what you do. That's what makes this sport entertaining. Now, other times during the race, I don't think it's appropriate.
If last lap, and this is what separates NASCAR from the other big racing series, right? I'm talking F1, right? We'll just use F1. Mm-hmm. If someone bumps someone in F1, oh my God. The cars would explode.
Instantly.
Stewart's inquiries, you know, this is not a, you know, unsportsmanlike race, you know, but this is what makes our sport great. So,
yeah.
None of that. Let them run it out and they'll sort it out eventually if they feel
in,
they were
in pit lane later.
Yeah. On TV. It's interesting, you know, it played out that way where he doesn't move him. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I'm recalling the footage when they got into one, Hamlin went high.
He did.
And he lost a lot of speed when he did that.
And it's like it didn't work all day, right?
Yeah.
High line, yeah, it was there. And yeah, cars would be up there, but...
Something else go wrong, I guess, did something happen to Hamlin's car?
Could have been.
To do that.
Got the corner.
Maybe.
I think it brought a little bit of that, too. Maybe he was trying to get to him, right? But...
Just drove it in harder and couldn't get it to steer.
Center up the big the dirt incline there. So, but yeah, it's and they announced, NASCAR announced they're here to stay with the at least the dirt race for at least for next year at Bristol. So
now it'll be interesting what car they bring, I think, because I'm hearing rumors about that. Obviously, they say next gen is still on pace for next gen car is still on pace for next season, but there's been a whole lot of hoopla the last two or three days about if that holds true. Will they bring these cars back for that race?
I think they bring the new cars. I do. I don't think they recycle. Why put all that time into it? Well,
I mean, it wasn't like the current cars were like fine tuned dirt track machines. So you're not like you're losing something there by not bringing the current cars to dirt. You're already starting fresh.
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends on. I think it might depend on where this dirt racing goes for the Cup Series. you know, is this going to be in some capacity something that happens every year? Or is it like, okay, we're just going to do it next year and then we're just going to put it on the shelf for a while?
I think Bristol likes it. I think the track likes it because now they have two desirable races. Yeah. Highly desirable races, right? Bristol, night race at Bristol was, you know, they used to pack that place, 160,000 people in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
They have a chance next year, hopefully, if everything continues going well with COVID and country starts recovering, they'd be able to pack it again, right? Pack two races, which would be insane. So,
yeah, it will. I think that's obviously key to how it continues in the future is how many fans actually go. I mean, it continues to be talked about even post race still in a non-race weekend. They're still talking about Bristol. So, you know, the energy is there. And if they can have a capacity crowd next spring, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see if it fills up.
God, wild. That'd be cool. Yeah, it is. It shocked me. Once I started the one heat race they did run with the trucks, right? How terrible that went with the mud and they had a red flag it. I went, oh, this is going to get very interesting. And I'm like, here we go. This is going to be the whole weekend. But luckily that did not pan out.
They were showing the inside camera view of Bubba's truck and it was instantly mudded over on the windshield. And then like, you could see him like took his hands up like, okay, like what am I supposed to do here?
Jesus, take the wheel. Here we go.
Yep. God. And then they went down pit road and, you know, obviously they flagged it and there were crew members out there with ice scrapers taking them off.
Wow. The shock and all. But yeah, NASCAR, you know, A, they're talking about that, and B, the big talk this week was them testing tires at Martinsville in the damp, in the wet.
Oh, yeah. Brent, I wanted to ask you about that. Did you see that?
I saw bits and pieces of that, and it definitely excites me. Not only from a, hey, we don't have to cancel NASCAR races because it's raining, but also because of it adds another challenge to tire strategy.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a dirt track in a sense. The track will change so dramatically over the course of a race. So if they go out and rain starts, they all got to come in and get rain tires, and then the track starts drying out, you're going to have guys, maybe they start running the high line because the high line's got more moisture in the pavement. The tires will stay cooler. Yep. Guys that are going to come in kind of early and go out on slicks because they know the track's going to dry out and the tires won't blister and come apart like the rain tires will on a dry track surface. So that's a complicated process that if you've ever watched an IMSA series race or, you know, when they run the 24 hours of Daytona and they talk about dealing with rain tires and what to do. Or if you go watch an amateur road racing race and they got a damp track surface, you get half the field going out on rain tires and half the field gambling the track's going to dry out and putting slicks on, hoping it pays off. So it's exciting.
It's fascinating to watch as a spectator, right? Because you're like, the announcers are all like the first guy to go to dry. Watch how much faster he is, right? When it's starting to transition, you know?
Right.
Who's going to be the first one to gamble, right? And I think it's great. And, you know, I heard good things coming out of it. And it sounds like they're going to keep it on the smaller tracks, the less than a mile tracks, which is smart. You don't want to see that at, you know, Talladega at 200 miles an hour. So
yeah, I think that's a whole nother animal, I think.
We're going to let that be. And I think it's great. And anybody who's a naysayer just needs to open their eyes a little bit, right? I think this is good for the sport. It's great for the fans. And it adds an element of complexity.
Well, right, in the sense of like Bristol, I mean, obviously the whole dirt thing, that's in the rain, that it doesn't work regardless.
No, we tried that. It does not work, yes.
But like, you know, the whole having to postpone or cancel the race and do it on Monday, generally it's not later in the day like it was for Bristol here this past weekend or this past Monday. It's generally like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock noon where they run the race then on Monday. And like for fan engagement, it's like the worst time of the day.
Yeah. Yep. yeah, this year changed some things where some of us are home, right? But still.
But still, I mean, like, even at the track, you know, like we went to Talladega, right? And that got rain shortened, and they didn't run enough laps to call it. So, I mean, but we had to go, right? I mean, we had to be back home, so.
And we made it home and watched the race at home.
Yeah.
Sure did.
That was insane. That was out of control. But, yeah, Adam, I think it's great. I hope they go through with it. And, Brent, I heard it was just the road course tire. They ran at the Roval.
Interesting. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't work. You know, maybe you make a left, you know, a compound change where you have a slightly, you know, slightly softer left side tire, slightly harder right side tire to, you know, to deal with the heat. But really, it's a, you know, you're typically on a rain tire. You're doing two things that you're not doing with a slick. Obviously, you have the obvious thing, which is the tread to evacuate the water. And then because the tire is going to be running much, much cooler because of the water, you want a really, really soft compound, which is why when the track dries out, the rain tires get destroyed instantly. So, yeah, they like blister and come apart and all kinds of bad stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure they could make some improvements there. But, you know, you're not going to be able to run the speed, the kind of speeds and the kind of Corning loads on a rain, you know, a wet track anyways. So there's, in a way, it's, you know, there's a lot less load on the tires. You know, on a fully wet track surface, these guys could run these tires for a long period of time without tearing them up. So
With the slower speeds. I know, but because you're still beyond the edge, right? Yeah, you're right. Not going to be doing your normal miles per hour in the corner, but you'll still be right on the edge of adhesion and starting to slide. So
yeah,
I think it'd be great. It's gonna be great to watch, and I hopefully, you know, the feedback they got from that trial with Goodyear was awesome. So A+ in Matt's book.
Absolutely.
Cool. Do you want me to just start it off, or you want to start it off, Matt? What do you, or Brent? No, I don't
Brent,
care.
Brent, kick one off, buddy.
Do you know the deets on the weekend, Brent?
Not well enough.
All right, I'll bail you. I'll bail.
Sorry,
you.
Buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to. I need to prepare myself mentally and emotionally for a future race to do that.
You also got to pick a driver one of these weeks too.
I mean, you know, we're getting close. We're getting close.
Okay. Well, I'm not pressuring you this week, but
You know, hey, you know, newly rekindled experience here. You might take a year to figure it out. You know, it's all right. It's fine. It's a lot of racing.
Who was I watching? Was it the trucks? There was some kid from Pennsylvania in there. I'm like, oh, PA bud. Huh.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah, blowing my mind. I don't know. Either way.
All right. I don't
think the pool's real deep there.
No, I don't think so.
can vouch for that.
So what we need to know, this is a slow track. Very slow.
So Martinsville weekend coming up, right? So Friday night is Xfinity racing, 8 p.m. under the lights.
Friday
love night. And then obviously Sunday, we've got the Blue Emo Maximum Pain Relief 500.
Blue Emo.
It's not Sunday. I'm sorry. It's Blue Emu.
Oh, Emu.
Emu.
I like the way you said it before.
Blue Emo. It's like,
did I
you
say
know,
Emo?
You did. You had some good Charlotte on the mind, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Taking Back Sunday.
Amazing.
You know?
And I also misspoke on the day. It's Saturday night under the lights. My God.
It's all right. It's fine.
So, yeah. It's going to be good. We're going short track racing again.
We sure are. I kind of like this swing they're going to have. We're going Martinsville, we're going to Richmond, and then we're going to Talladega. Kind of going the other way with that one, if you ask me.
Hold them wide open.
Bud.
That's exciting.
It sure is.
All right. So, Friday night, there's a Xfinity race. I'm thinking that everybody needed, you know, obviously it was Easter Sunday last weekend, but I'm thinking everybody needed 2 weeks to clean the haulers out, probably.
Get all the mud out of everything. And find a way to lose those torque wrenches they were using last week or 2 weeks ago. So you don't need those anymore, buddy. couple ugly lugs and you should be good to go.
Yep. So we'll see. This is the first time Xfinity's back on the track since Gragson threw some haymakers.
Might be something to watch. Hopefully they had some weeks to calm down, but
yeah.
But it should be exciting, right? I mean, it's a Friday night, 8 o'clock. It's, you know, it's half the amount of laps as the Cup race, so it's nice and short, and I'm sure there'll be some good action. Martinsville being a short track and flat all the way around, so, or fairly flat, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's, what is it, 0 in the straights and 12 degrees on the corners?
I think we're lucky to get 12. I'm not sure.
Depends which way you're leaning.
Kind of good day with a,
if you turn
with,
your
a heavy,
head,
with a heavyweight yeah. driver.
Yeah, turn your head a little bit, you can get up to 20. So,
I think what's cool about what I like about Martinsville is it's macadam on the straights, and then the corner groove, low groove is, or is it the whole corner is concrete?
That's correct.
The whole corner, or is it just the bottom groove?
I think just the low groove, and that's all there is. There is not an upper groove in Martinsville. So, and you know what, Martinsville, it's kind of like how Bristol used to run, right? Your fast path is the low path, right? So the low groove is the only groove that'll work, and they'll be bumping each other out and late breaking each other into the corners. And also, there's some turtle shells on the inside of both corners. So
yeah.
The story goes, if you hit those, you're in bad shape. So,
well, I seem to remember years ago now. Well, I guess it wasn't too long ago. So was it a Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano incident?
Guess who's on the pole?
Number 22, baby.
And Denny Hamlin's right up there with him.
the witchcraft qualifying metrics in effect again.
Please. You win the race, you get up front. Denny Hamlin just seems to start in the front row every week.
Points leader.
Newman. Ryan Newman.
Six top fives.
Ryan Newman starting up there in eighth.
Does Hamlin really have six top fives?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the quietest six top fives I've ever heard in my life.
I know. We like don't talk about it. He's got 327 points to Logano's 269 in second place. So he's got a half decent lead. And yeah, no wins. Just
he gets his win. He's in deep to the playoffs. So
oh yeah.
You know what?
He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. I mean, he just needs to keep it together and, you know, consistently finish in the top 10 the rest of the way, and he'll be fine. I mean, look how many wins he had last year. That didn't work out for him.
How'd that play out for you, bud?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. But the way this season's been going, man, what are we on? Race, what, six, seven now with new winners?
This will be... Yeah, lap. This will be race 8. So there's been 7 different winners: McDowell,
that's
Bell,
awesome.
Byron, Larson, Truex, Blaney, and Logano.
Yeah,
I love it. Where's this boy Brad Keselowski? He's got some good history here. He's got a couple wins.
Don't talk about my secrets so early.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I taking away? Am I stealing one of your picks already? Okay.
Matt, I'm not gonna say.
Oh, you're not gonna say. All right. Keep that to yourself.
I will. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I definitely have been reading the tire notes, and I'm interested to see, like you talk about the low groove, right? Being on concrete, what happens once that gets gripped up? You know, do people move away from that, or do they stay in the grip? Try to make something happen.
I didn't hear anything about the sticky stuff going down in the track. So,
no, I haven't heard that either. I'm guessing that'll be like a game time decision if something like that were to
occur. I don't know if they've. I know they've tried it before, but I don't know if it's going to be a continuing thing here. So, you know, either way, it's a slow track, right? So you're going to see a lot of bumping and banging, and you're not going to if you dump someone, you better make sure you get them good, because the chances are going to be able to hold it, right, and come after you in the next lap. So,
well, it's interesting you say about flat, or we just talked like flat track, right? So we flat track wise, Phoenix would be probably the closest that we've got so far to this. Everything else has been fairly banked.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it to see what the actual numbers are here.
But they're running 10 PSI on the left. Well, the recommended pressure is 10 PSI on the left, 23 on the right.
Wow.
That's the same theory that you were talking about a couple weeks ago, Brent.
Yeah, it's a pretty big split. Talking about banking, I forget, sorry, Matt. The Bristol Dirt Track, they took a lot of banking out of that. I mean, different surface, but they tried to make that into a flat course as well.
Yeah. Flatter, right?
Right.
Flatter. And,
yeah.
Talking tire pressures, right? We all worked in shops at one point, right? Do you remember putting a car up in the air and putting your tire pressure gauge on and it pegs out? please tell this owner to not run 90 PSI in their tires. Even though they get better fuel economy, they are going to kill their family.
They just, hooked the compressor up till it stopped. Cool, right?
What do you mean? I paid for a whole quarter of air, I paid sure all that went in, Yeah. Sorry to get off track there, but I thought of 10 PSI, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, yep, seen that. I've seen the complete opposite. So,
well, they run it in NASCAR. It should be fine.
It's fine. It's we got the same tire. We got Goodyears. It's the same.
Yeah, as long as they're not Firestones, right?
I was going to say, ask Ford and Firestone how that went.
Whoa! Yeah, that's that broke up a family, man. That was a family business, Some insider trading there. Listen,
weren't they checking like 24 PSI on those?
Listen, just because the Explorer at the time, had a harsh ride, and some engineers thought it would ride much better at a lower tire pressure. Don't ask the tire manufacturer about it. It's none of their business, right? We got to make sure these things ride good. So
yeah, they're 75 series tires. They'll be all right. I think it was like 24 pounds. That was like the door. That was what the door sticker called. Which is not
I think to this day, U-Haul will not rent you a trailer if you're going to tow it with a Ford Expedition.
You're dangerous.
Yeah. To this day, they will not let you do that. So
Even though there's probably not a single person that was in 10 feet of the designing process of that entire vehicle. Even remotely close to designing any vehicle under that Blue Oval name anymore, I'm sure.
It's been a few years since that's been a problem. But oh gosh, yeah, it makes me laugh. The 10 PSI, I don't know. They're not running beadlocks, so I'm sure.
So they are running liners, though.
Oh, here they got liners. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Wow, really? It's interesting. Yeah, I thought they were gonna, here.
Yeah.
No, I believe I'm not.
Never mind. I read that wrong. As on most NASCAR ovals, 1 mile or less, teams will not run liners in their tires at Martinsville. I'm sorry.
It's all good. The safety liner, right, Adam? So yeah, that's in case they get a rub and they go flat. They're not on. They don't lose. They're not on the metal rim, right? So that's a little bit of cushion or safety. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and I guess, you talk about needing beadlocks, and I guess if 10 PSI is the cold starting pressure, they'll be quite a bit higher than that when they're hot.
And
obviously you wouldn't, you put that kind of pressure on an outside tire and you're going to pop it right off the bead turn one. pull it right off. But yeah, on the inside you get away with it.
it is 12 degrees of banking. I just found that too. So
yeah.
You're right on it.
So yeah.
So jeez.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going to be, I like this race. I do. I used to not like short tracks for whatever
reason. Same here. That's interesting that you never used to like them.
I just was never drawn to, I'm like, oh, this is stupid. They're going like, they're only going 75 in the corners.
Yeah. Right? Same.
And now, you know, following the sport closer, I look forward to short tracks. I really do, because you see a lot more driving per se. Right, and a lot more chaos, which are two things I enjoy thoroughly. So,
yep. not just holding her wide open like the kiddie go karts at the carnival.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not Talladega where like everyone's skating around and any little bit of movement is like can literally flip somebody over in a heartbeat.
Now, do I love that? Yes, absolutely.
Of course,
it's different, and you learn to track it and. This is a cool track and it's got a lot of history, right? This was one of the first, they ran the first race here in 1949. Oh wait, I'm sorry. Then they paved it in 55. So we ran a few years on dirt, I guess. So
do you think NASCAR's listening? They'll give it a shot again.
I don't know.
Please, please.
I don't know if Bristol's the answer. I don't know what the answer is for that. I don't know. Like,
and they're going to do it. And you know what? Like we talked about earlier in this episode, right? Now they can now they have a chance to sell two races fully, right? Because everybody wants to see the Bristol Night Race, and now the Bristol Dirt Race is a thing. So it'll only get better. And I'm, you know, was curious, was kind of flip flopped on that, and kind of like how it came out. So
it'll be great for TV. So
that's it. That's all that matters.
Right. Pretty much.
That's all anymore. So
until the drivers get their damn unions.
Now you got your damn unions.
What else do you want? We put roll cages in it. You're welcome.
But yeah, it's gonna. I have the same feeling about short, like Martinsville in particular. I always thought that this track was fairly boring until I started paying closer attention. And same theory of being necessary to be probably a better driver. And I think, yeah, obviously with the history that's gone on there, with you know, I expect someone like Truex to be pretty good this weekend, you would think. And then obviously the history between, you know, my guy Joey and Hamlin there, or their history in general, has led to things. And with the two of them out front, you know, I'm just replaying, like, if that same situation plays again this weekend, right, on the last lap or overtime or whatever it is, and Hamlin doesn't overshoot it in the first corner, you know, is he going to try to put himself in position to win, as in move Joey out of the way? Which, you know, hey, it's fair.
I'm sure he thought about it after the dirt race.
If you're going for the win, I got no, like I said, I've said it earlier, I got no problem with any driver moving somebody on the last lap to go for the win. That's what I think makes this sport different than other racing series. But that's sure. Okay.
And with the new car coming, it's only going to get better, because now we're going to have composite bodies. And guess what that leads to? More bumping and banging and no tire rubs. So I am all about that.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
But yeah, this will be a good one. Two races. Where are the trucks aren't running this weekend?
So, I don't think so. I think they have off, to be honest with you.
It took a little snooze. And they're still trying to find some of those. They're still digging mud out of the quarter panels of those things. My God. So
yeah, they don't run. They don't run until Richmond.
Okay. Yeah, Richmond's a cool track too. I like that track. We were there. That was a good time. So Martinville's on the list, and what I like to watch at Martinville is I like to watch corner exit to see when they can put the power down. So that's, you can tell right down in there if the car's going to win or not really early on, right? If they're able to hook up at all leaving the corner.
Yeah. How fast they get the throttle open.
That's it. And some of them pedal it the whole time, right? Going down the back straight just because they can't. You're just that loose, right? Your rear end's just not that. It's just so disconnected that you never really get a chance to put the pedal to the metal. So I don't think we'll see. Anyway, I guess we might break rotor. See if we see some glowing. I know it's going to be it's a day race, but you never know.
No, it's a night race. These things. It's a night race.
Is it a night race? I'm sorry. What time is it starting?
7:30.
Oh shoot! See. There we go. Idiot.
Saturday night. So it's Friday night and Saturday night. Sunday you're off.
Sunday off. I love it. So now that I can make my point, look for the brake rotors to be glowing. That's something I like to watch to see. So, and also take a real good look too. If the fronts, you expect to glow, but if you start seeing the rears glow, that car's handling terribly and they're playing with the brake bias to try to get that thing to turn. So
Yep. Got to get her to rotate.
Kurt Busch at the Daytona Road Course. His rear brakes were brighter than his front rotors. So, not good.
So I assume there's obviously like a big brake package, right? I'd assume for stuff like this. So how big? Like, does anybody know how, like, what size calipers they're using? Like, how many pistons?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
All got to fit inside a 15-inch wheel. That's all I know.
Yeah,
which means it ain't enough for a 3,200-pound car. Are they running the 750 horsepower package?
Short track, yeah. Short tracks are 750.
Oh,
What that tells you is there's not enough brakes. I love it, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
that's really good. Oh man.
Oh gosh. All right. So fun fact: the NASCAR rotors can reach a temperature of 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And while the Brembo HTC 6014 brake fluid has a boiling point of 635 degrees Fahrenheit. So, very interesting stuff here. Let's see what it says. Okay.
Yeah, you know when you got to buy the what did you say? They said it was Brembo fluid too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Castrol makes a fluid. I think they call it RBF 600 because most of your high performance brake fluids, you're still not getting boiling points over 500 and some change degrees Fahrenheit. And you get these like, I don't know, these things must be liquid gold that get over 600 degrees. I think the Castrol stuff is like $45 or $50 a quart. But it's the magic sauce for when you want to take your, you know, your bone stock Camaro SS to the track and hammer on the thing on a car with lots of power and doesn't have big enough brakes for track use. It'll keep the brakes underneath the car. So it's interesting they have to go to those kind of extremes on these to keep the fluid from boiling.
Martinsville, the brakes are used for 6 to 7 seconds for each corner. So the driver is on the brakes longer than they're on the gas.
Interesting.
Wow. Terrifying.
I was
going to
say, what's a lap time? What's a lap time at Martinsville?
Wait. That's a good question. Let me look at the qualifying streets. Oh, wait. It's witchcraft.
Yeah, I was going to say. Wow, zero.
These guys are so fast.
How is that even possible? I did not get a chance to turn laps yet on the rig to get my driver feel. So I got the COVID shot, so the arm's been a little sore. So I want to give it my full, right?
You don't want to.
Can't get up on the wheel like I used to, you know?
Yeah. Drink some Gatorade.
I got some Pedialyte I'm going to get it too, you know?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That wasn't even a thing when we were in college.
No, Pedialyte? We missed out on that.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, was it? We went to school where you already might be a little different.
All right, that was definitely a thing. That was definitely.
Adam had a little more.
I've had some. definitely had some, but Gatorade usually worked pretty well for me.
Sure did. Oh, God, remember we were young. Remember that. Yeah, but did it matter? Yeah.
Yeah, now it matters.
Now it matters. And you're hungover for like 3 days. So
So what do we want to do? We want to do picks?
Sure.
I think I went first last week.
I think it's back around to me.
Hold on. Let me take a look.
At the bit.
Keeper of this.
Matt's got his notes. Let's see.
I went first at Bristol, and then it was Adam and Brent. So Brent, what do you got?
Okay. I'm going to do this in a bit of a strange order this time, just because I feel like it, because I can. I'm going to start off with my dark horse.
Ooh.
And I have a feeling that based off a previous comment that Adam is going to be unhappy to hear this. But I'm going to go with Mr. Keselowski.
Okay. That's your dark horse.
He's got some pretty good history here, but his season has been tumultuous.
Yeah.
You know, he's showing fifth in points, but I think he finished 28th at Atlanta. He either does really well or really poorly.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him win. I don't know. Maybe I'm a closet Brad Keselowski fan. I don't know.
He's riding the caboose of Team Penske right now.
There you go.
I would take Blaney over him, but that's fine.
I like it. There you go. I'm going Brad Keselowski for my dark horse. Now, for my care center and for my pick to win, I got two drivers. If we look
two drivers.
You know,
two
if we
not
look
the
at the
one,
last,
I hope. Yeah.
Yeah. We look at the last six races at Martinsville. Both of these guys have run the last six races at Martinsville. One of them has led 747 laps in those six races. The other one has one top 20 finish. So these two, I mean, we're opposite. These two drivers are Martin Truex Jr. and Austin Dillon. So I
can tell you who's Truex, who there.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I'm going Truex to win this is
like it because he's my boy.
Not only because he's having a good season, he's having a good season on short tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's paved or dirt with his, you know, his runs at Bristol. So another short track, he seems to do well. He's won here, I think, in recent years in those six races, he won twice.
Won last year, I think, too. I think didn't Chase Elliott kind of last year knock Truex to it when Truex had a shot to win last year?
Yeah, he won the fall race.
Yeah, right.
But he was punted out of the way in the spring race. So good pick all around, buddy. No, that's that.
His average finish is 25th in the last 2 years. Look at the last six recent races, if you will, last six races. And yeah, he's only managed one top 20 finish, and that's it. So, which is surprising because his point standing this year is not atrocious.
Austin Dillon.
Yeah, he's
He's had a fair. He's had an above average year for him so far.
Yeah, he's shown 11th in points. Yep. So you know he should do better, but we'll see. So that's me.
I love it.
And I guess I'm going to steer this to Matt.
You need to give me one more pick, buddy.
No, he his care center was Austin Dillon, bud.
Okay, I got too excited about Truex.
I figured me picking Truex would either make you really excited or upset you because I might have jinxed him.
No, you can jinx. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work like that. It's only me. It's all good. It's only me. I do like the Keselowski pick. I think putting him in the spot you did as your dark horse is smart for just how he's running this year. Every other season, I'd say you're crazy, but for this year, I think you're spot on. So, team, I have a first-time – well, we'll start with the first-time winner, I think. So I have a repeat winner this year, but a first-time winner for Martinsville for as my race winner.
As your winner, you said.
Yes, as my winner.
All right.
I think Ryan Blaney is going to the podium. So out of the 10 races he's had here, he's got 5 top fives and 6 top tens.
Wow.
So his average start is 8th. His average finish is 10th. So he's consistent, and he doesn't have much experience compared to the other folks running around. He's got better stats than Kurt Busch does here, minus the race wins.
Yeah.
So other than that, he looks healthy, and I'm going to take Blaney to win. Brent, I'm going to challenge your care center pick, Austin Dillon, as my dark horse. Mr. Dillon has managed somehow to get 2 top 10s and 2 top 5s here. So I don't like the man. I don't think he's a good driver. But I think he's, you know, if he keeps his head on straight, I think he's got a chance. And unfortunately, I have Christopher Bell as my care center pick this week.
Okay. Mm. Any particular reason why?
He's in the decent equipment, right? I just don't think he's going to get it done this week. And I honestly looked at the entry list and went, yeah, I could see Bell. He's only got 2 races here in the Cup Series, right? And he's in and out as started 21st. He literally must have started 21st or 22nd twice because his average start is 22nd, his average finish is 22nd. So he's not, you know.
Just got to maintain.
He's reshaping the world. But I think it's going to be a wreck. I don't think it's going to be I think he's going to get involved in a wreck. But he'll be the first one out.
Okay.
So, right. Adam, to answer your question, no. I don't. There's no.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
No, I'm with you.
All right,
Sands, what do you got, buddy?
All right, so maybe I'll take this sprint strategy here and mix it up a little bit. So I'm trying to think about some of the guys I've picked before. And you have your notes there, Matt?
I do. What would you like to see, my friend?
Who have been my past winners?
So you've taken you've taken Austin Dillon.
Yep.
At the Bristol Dirt Race. Why is that all the notes I have? I have more than that. Don't lie to me.
It's all right.
No, it's all
good. Maybe I won't switch it up. Because I'm not sure if I took this guy at all.
You've taken who else do you have? Why is this? I'm having a heck of a time. You
man
keep
doesn't,
going.
Man doesn't have good notes. Man doesn't
I have don't
good
have notes. That. They're not that good.
Sorry,
really
don't
not
worry
that
about
good.
It. Let it go. Don't worry about it. All right, so I'm just going to go winner first, and I think it's going to be Denny Hamlin. I think he's pissed.
Yeah, it's not a bad look.
I don't. Even if he's out front, I think obviously he's been really good so far this year. He just haven't won. And I think the theme of drivers of new winners every week continues. That seems
I like
to
it.
Be.
He's going to get it, right? And I think it's a good way to take him. So. How many wins does he have here?
I have no idea.
Five.
I didn't.
Dude, five.
He's won five times. Yeah. That's got to be top for active drivers.
Dude. So he's got 30 races here, right? He's got 21 top tens,
wow.
15 top fives, and five wins. And he's been on the pole four times. That's insane.
Yeah. It is insane. Wow.
So. Good pick.
Wow. So what's next? Dark Horse?
Or Care Center. You want to change it up?
Yeah, or Care Center. Honestly, this is tough for me this week. It really is. I think, you know, like, obviously, like, I want to naturally just pick, like, a Quinn Huff, you know, for...
Oh, boy. My new driver.
Care Center. But, like, I feel like Quinn Huff got a free pass. Based on not clobbering, what was it, Truex last week?
The man stopped in dirt, which
I mean,
everybody said was impossible. So
I think he's a better dirt racer than he is a pavement racer. whether or not he's got legitimate dirt experience, he seems to do well in dirt.
A double zero car. So Quinn Huff.
I'm picking for my care center some guys who were finished. I'm thinking that I have got to make a game time decision here, but it's between two guys that finished within the top five or top 10 last week.
Interesting.
And I think care center wise is going to be Mr. Suarez. What should I say? Daniel Suarez.
Mr. Suarez.
I just, you know.
The 99 car, yeah.
He had it put together last week for sure, right? He led a lot of laps. I don't know. I think
the Trackhouse team looks good though, man.
They do. They look better than the 23XI Racing team, that's for sure.
Which is actually shocking because I did want to take Bubba because he had his good run here last year. Remember?
He did.
He had his good run here. So yeah. He was my. I'm gonna regret doing this now, but I was debating him as my dark horse. But
well, you spoke it for me, bud. You spoke it for me.
Did you? Oh! So Adam will be taking Bubba Wallace.
I will be taking Bubba Wallace as my dark
horse. Let's go!
I think he's ready. I think if there's going to be, I feel like if there's going to be a race, it's going to be, for him, probably short track. I don't feel confident about Bubba Wallace at any kind of super speedway. I've seen him out front at Talladega before, and he was crashed before you knew it. So.
Terrifying is another word for that. Yeah,
just don't think he's got the seat time.
I like it, buddy. I do. I think that's a good pick, and like I alluded to, sorry that he had a good run and he looked healthy.
Okay.
Here. So
yeah, I think Suarez. I just think and I don't know. I feel like some people are
Logano,
a little.
I don't know. Yeah,
easy. We'll see. Joey's probably gonna win. So we'll be honest.
Okay. All right. All right.
You're almost as bad as Matt.
Almost. Yeah. But I like Bubba. I think Bubba will, if Bubba's up there, if he saves his equipment, right, if he's able to manage his stuff, I think he's got a chance. I'm afraid of him getting out front early and just burning his stuff up.
Yeah.
But we'll see, because they're not changing brakes, right? This isn't Le Mans. They're not dropping knuckles, right? So.
Yep, he's starting on row 13, so, you know, we'll see. No talk of Ross Chastain. Quiet on the mellow man front this week.
I'm disappointed, man. I expect more, you know?
Yeah. Watch out for Kyle. Watch out for Kyle Busch this week.
I'm sick. Okay. Kyle Busch? Yeah. I'm sick of hearing about both Kyles, so. Yeah. Oh, Larson. Oh, I'm sick of it. I'm getting fed up. All right. I honestly just can't. Okay, great. He can drive. The man can drive. I get it. Right. Yeah. I understand. He's got his wins. We'll meet you in the playoffs. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But, so it's gonna be good. Yeah, doubleheader. Well, it's not doubleheader. Friday night race. Saturday night race. Should be exciting. Late night racing and doesn't interfere with any of the extra or normal family activities.
That's right.
Perfect. There you go. We can do this.
Yeah.
Hopefully my root canal will let me drink beer on Saturday night. So enjoy the race. All right. May the person who's willing to move the lead car out of the way on the last lap win. And should be a good one. What's the word?
I'm pulling for Brent's win to be my win, but that's a different story. let's keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down, and let's get off this dirt and let's go racing.
Mm. And that's all.
Truex getting out of the way. Last lap.
19.